said last night, you want to do these to show that there's life here. And whether you're in Mississippi, whether you're in Louisiana or Alabama, there's life in the grace message.
Amen.
Amen. And we have life in Christ Jesus. And so far we've heard, before we get started, I do want to share that we have a conference. I know it's you're thinking Christmas this time of year. But in May, I got some paperwork over there. May we have a conference up in Ohio called the Great Lakes Grace Bible Conference. It's during Memorial Day weekend. We have 11 speakers come through. Frank will be there speaking with us next year. But we're in the world's largest Amish community. So it's out in the meadows and farmland, and we have a 52-room hotel that we meet there. So we're sharing with Lynn and Wayne, if you're thinking about coming, you better call the hotel now and make the reservations because it's booked. But we do have bed references and all, and we'll find you a place to stay. But that's Memorial Day weekend, May 22nd through the 24th. And our theme to that conference is, the Lord give us wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So we'll have our preacher three messages about the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God's word. Let's go to word and prayer. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. We thank you for this time of grace. Thank you for the secrets that's spoken. Most of all, thank you for your Son, Christ Jesus, that came to serve and died and buried and rose again for his sins. For our sins. His name we pray. Amen. So far, we have heard some things about the gospel, what Sean was sharing. We heard some things about being a grace believer, what Frank was sharing. You know, that's some great things to hear, isn't it? You know, but it's also very, very important to know that we have the Word of God in the King James Bible. Amen. You know, we need to know that we have His Word when it comes to as far as instructing us in some things. His Word is final. Now, I may not be able to speak or pronounce His words clearly like most people can. You just have to love me for who I am. Now, I am from Virginia, so give me a little grace there. But, you know, as you look at some things about some words, I was going to show you a verse in Judges chapter 12. You can look at that on your own. This guy left one letter out of pronouncing a word. And by pronouncing that word without that one letter, you know what happened to him? They killed him. So not only words mean something, letters mean something. So I'm not going to pronounce that guy's name. You know, it's in Judges chapter 12, verse 6. So, you know, I don't want to get stoned up here for some reason. But anyway, I want also to very, very important to know how you are saved. Amen? Is it under a performance-based system that demands you to live up to the standard of righteousness? Or is it under a grace system that you cannot perform? But Christ Himself did it all for us by dying at Calvary. One of those systems. We also, it's very important that here, and we have heard the verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. You ever heard of that before? Mm-hmm. It says, study to show thyself approved unto who?
God.
And we're going to need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when that verse, when you heard that verse, did it take root in your soul? And made a difference out of you studying the Bible? It sure didn't mean, because you know why? It tells you what to do. It tells you to what? Study. And as Frank and Sean was reading the original last night, said, many of us don't want to study. It's a lifetime, and we have to study. Why do we do it? To be approved unto who? The preacher man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your husband, your wife. God. That's what matters. And then how do we do it? We rightly divide the word truth. And we know it's truth from truth. It's not truth from error. Mm-hmm. So we need to know that and know it very clearly. Also, there's some knowledge of when we come up to some knowledge of the truth, we find out there's two programs in the Bible that God has in His Word. One of them is prophecy program that Sean shared this morning, and it deals with the earth. And the mystery program deals with the heaven. And the prophecy program deals with Israel. The mystery program deals with who? The body of Christ. Now, I'm the type of person, I like a little interaction. So if you get happy, and you know, that's okay. But I will ask you questions. Hopefully you give me the right answer. But anyway, Anyway, the law and grace is what the issue today. For what saith the scriptures is a theme verse, and we just need to look at some things about sin. We're going to look at some things about law, and of flesh, and of grace, what the Word of God says. So I ask you to be turned to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Sometimes when we read this verse, we go right to the fact that we're what? Under grace, part, don't we? And we want to magnify that so much, and that fact we're not under law. But what is the second word in this verse?
Sin.
And that's been a problem for a long, long time, hasn't it? You know, as Frank was sharing, we need to know that sin shall not have dominion over us in grace. That's what we're going to talk about, the grace life and the difference between law and grace. We know that by now, in God's program, time past, God formed a man and called that man who?
Adam.
And he formed him out of dust and ground. He bred life into him. He became a living soul. But did Adam have a sin nature right off the bat?
No.
But we know also as we progressively work through the scriptures by Genesis chapter 3, Satan did not waste any time and attack God's created man. We know that. And Satan and his viewpoint question the Word of God. It leaves out the Word of God. It adds to the Word of God. It waters down the Word of God. And finally, he does what to it? Denies it. You know, that attack today on God's Word is still going on. Primary through different Bible versions and different preachers up here preaching out different Bible versions. You know, in the garden you had God's viewpoint, didn't you? And you had Satan's viewpoint. And then introduced another viewpoint that's called man's viewpoint. Just like today, you got God's Word, you got your Word, and you got Edward. Okay? And I'm telling you, Edward's speaking and it's more prominent over your word right now. Just joking. Edward is, I hope to edify you this morning, okay? Ed's a good word. Ed's a good King James Bible word, by the way. In Joshua chapter 22, verse 34, you'll only find it in the King James Bible. So if you know anybody's name is Ed, and then you know they study the Bible, see if they have that word. It means witness. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, keep your hands in Romans chapter 6, because we're going to work through that. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, it says, wherefore that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have what? Sin. Adam had fallen, and with that fall started in motion a nature of sin that we all inherit. So keep that in mind. We'll call that today as far as Mr. Sin. You know, he's got some respect out there amongst people. But by Genesis chapter 4, that motion of sin had taken hold on man, and the whole world became corrupt. You know, we just talked about this Bible timeline. That's the timeline of your Bible. You know, that's very important to know. Many of us in vision, we like to see things. But also, we also know that the world came corrupt. And in Genesis chapter 4, by Genesis 6, God says, He saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts in his heart was only evil continually. And God said, He repented me that I had made him. He was sorry. But verse 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the first time the word grace is mentioned in the Bible. First time. But out of all the people of the earth at that time, all of them, Noah walked with God. One person. Just one person. He obeyed God, and God saved him and his household. After that, God blessed him and told him that and his son, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. But you know something, what happened right after that? Mr. Sin came right back along, came back around by chapter 11, Satan had worked his way to persuade them to go back under one language or go under one language and one speech. They opposed God and what God the Creator told them to do. They became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was dark. So you know what God did? He gave them over. It seems like everything that God the Creator does when He does something, the God of this world comes right along with, and pushes His program of works of Mr. Sin and Mr. Flesh to him. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
We'll use this a little bit about the sin, the soul, and spirit, the body. It is a problem. Sin is a problem. And it still is a problem in the life of believers.
Okay.
So what do we need to do to take care of Mr. Sin? You're in Romans chapter 6, go to Romans chapter 3. What do we need to do to take care of Mr. Sin? Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For some have sinned." What does it say? All. That includes all. All means all, whether it's Hebrew, Greek, Spanish, you know, Eddies, whatever. Yeah, all means all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know who's got a problem? Who's got a problem, though? Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know who? God's got a solution. That's good news. Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Our responsibility is what? Faith in His blood. That's what pays for that. And we get saved. And once we get saved, guess what? Our identity changes. We are not the same people or person we was when we was when we walked in sin. So in Romans chapter 6, we become dead to sin. Verse 1. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know what Paul says this? Look at chapter 5, a couple verses up there in verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin had reigned to death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You do not continue in sin to get more grace. That don't make sense, does it? You know that now. Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Frank mentioned baptism a little while ago. Is this water?
No.
You know that by studying the Word of God. You're baptized into what? His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That life as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. There's life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, this is the identification part, that you're identifying with His death. And you're going, it says, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we shall not serve who?
Sin.
For he that is dead is free from sin. Amen. Hallelujah. He that is dead is free from sin. That should be good news for you guys.
Yep.
You know, think about this. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You go down there, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as righteous as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto who?
Yeah.
God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but what? Under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether it is sin unto death or of obedience of righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness. You put sin away by allowing Christ to live in us and through us is a part of the grace law. And not being under sin, but under grace. Not being under the law, but under grace. Not being under the flesh, but under grace. It's all going to go under grace. Being under grace is what the verse is talking about. And it breaks the power of sin. And being taught by grace, but you know that's just good. Hold your finger there and go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Being taught by grace. Titus chapter 2. What verse am I going to? That's right, verse 11. Chapter 2 of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to how many men?
All
men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we shall live soberly, righteously, godly in His present world. What does grace teach us? That we can deny that sin nature. We can deny a law nature. We can, and the issues that we have in the flesh, you know what we can do? We can put it away. We can put it away. You know, Frank and I was talking about, you know, we can get puffed up in the flesh all the time. You know, it's terrifying sometimes to be up here, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, looking out over you, like, my flesh is trembling. But who's inside of me? It's not me speaking. It's the Word of God speaking. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're encouraged to talk and preach and teach, you're doing it because of who wants it in you. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. Sin is dead. Quarter verse, you're believing it on. Sin is dead. So next is the law. For we are not under the law, but under grace. Same as Mr. Sin, Mr. Law comes up. Okay? And that law, as we know it, as we showed through the prophecy program, we know it shows up for the nation of Israel. And that was, to me, it was for them to be set apart from any other nation. And when they were set apart, they did the law. That's what they worked. And it says that the law from God, which they could not do. God gave that law. But what do we know about Mr. Law? Mr. Law worketh wrath. Mr. Law points to you and says, guilty. Mr. Law says, you cannot do it. But Mr. Law is not bad. That's a capital B-A-D. It's not bad. God says, but we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Mr. Me and Mr. and Mrs. You makes out for it to be B-A-D. You with me? We make out the law to be bad. And we don't want to be pointed at and told that we are bad. We don't. You know, when we get pulled over by Mr. Lawman, you know, it's usually something we did good. No. It's usually something we did bad. And, you know, many times, many times traveling up down the highway, I got pushed to DOT. And according to Mr. DOT, Mr. Truck Driver, by the way, I'm, you know, Jerry had a fancy name for this box down here. Probably you didn't catch it, but he did. I can't. But as for me, I'm a special commodities relocation engineer. That's a truck driver. That's my tent-making job. Great. And Mr. DOT, I'm pointing at Wayne, because do they know that he was once a DOT manager? Okay, so, well, they do that. You got it okay. But he was that dude, truck driver. But when he pulled us over, you know, we're thinking, okay, what do we do? We're automatically setting up a defense mechanism, saying, wait a minute now, what's going on? I'm going to have to prove him wrong. But the thing is about traveling, I'll show that in a little bit, but most of the time, trucks used to be 55 miles. And you ask, people always ask, how much do they give you over the speed limit? You ever thought about that? Okay. Don't ever ask the police officer. You know, he's going to look at you and say, are you kidding me? Did you not see that sign? By the way, you know how fast you was going? They don't give you anything. You take it, don't you? You take it. And you know, it's just like today in technology, we were talking about all this stuff in our tractor last night. In my tractor today, I have a screen about this big. And when I push the cruise on the GPS system, it shows me your state speed limit. Say it's 7. My tractor does 64. And it stays in the gray. If it drops down to 55, and if I don't drop down to 55, it's got color codes. If I say 55, I'm doing 55, it's gray. If I go up to 58, it starts turning yellow. If I go 4 miles over, it turns red. You know what red means? Stop! You know, it's telling me to stop. But I'm not stopping. You know, that's the flesh. So, you know, the thing is whether we look at things to get around this law, don't we? We really do. You can either look at things to get around it, or you can abide by it. And it's hard to abide by it. It really is. That's why the technology today is taking everything out of human out of the equation there and put it on the computer system. We was talking about the Bendix system. You've probably seen it on some new cars where they're slowing you down and telling you're too close. We had that on big trucks today. If I get so close to you four seconds off your bumper, that's the legal CDL limit. We all should practice that. You know, my company wants 7 seconds. That gives me time to react if anything happens. But if I go up to 4 seconds, it starts beeping a little bit. 3 seconds, it starts beeping a little more like it's caution tape. Uh-huh. It turns you out. If I get 2 seconds, and if I don't start to react, it puts the braking system on my tractor. And it starts to slow it down. And if you don't react in time, it will do it for you, and it goes red, and it sends my boss a message. And I get up on the phone. You just got a collision vibration. I'm like, I did? Well, you know, I'm just long trying to work on it. Yeah. You know, 9 times out of 10, I permit me. I said, yes, I did. 9 times out of 10, I'm already calling him and said, hey, man, this is just what happened. I walked in his office and passed, and he said, you know why you're here? I said, yes, I know why. Because you want to talk about it? I said, yeah. And I said, he said, how close was you when it went off? I said, about 1 second, 1 or 2 seconds. Let's close it.
That's close.
Yeah.
He said, Ed, I love you. He showed me I was 0.8 seconds.
Wow.
But as you know, if you're going, and you're going, 3 cars came over at one time and stopped.
Yeah.
That's how quick. And it picked up a satellite imagery of what I was doing. So you can't lie. That's what this book's about. You can't lie to it, so you know what you do. Say, I know that. And what I did, it showed me after that one incident right there. Notice I didn't say accident. Incident. I backed off, and it showed me I'm getting my speed back. So they got you. Dead right. So that's what the law is. The law is the standard, and God's standard is the bar. And he did not lower that law for anybody. Anybody. It's his standard. Go to the Exodus chapter 19 right quick. I know we got started a little late. I think I got to 3 o'clock. Is that right here? And then after 3 o'clock, Richard comes on for that. 9 o'clock. That's what the program says. And
yeah.
But anyway, look. Exodus chapter 19. For the nation Israel, the Lord said, 19 verse 4. Go to 5. Exodus 19, 5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Look at verse 8. Well, verse 6 is very, very important. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of who? The body of Christ.
Nope.
Israel. Verse 8. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. As Richard shared last night, you know what they did? They entered a contract with the Lord.
Amen.
And they broke it. Notice the if-then phrase. They agreed. And from that point onward, the nation Israel is under a law type of operating system. To be different. For sake of time, if you want to write down Exodus 6, 1 through 8, you can see that God wanted to do a grace system. There's no ifs and buts in that system. But look, Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 1 and 2. Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgment which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers given you. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught of it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. Is that serious? God, the Creator, and up to this time, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob know him as God Almighty. And from this time, in Exodus chapter 6, they know him as Jehovah God, I am. And he's saying something there. And verse 5 says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land where ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is wise and an understanding people. That's who Israel was, as Sean was saying. They're a light in that dark world. And they're supposed to have wisdom and understanding, and all the Gentiles in the world should see that through them and say, that's God's people. It's not happening today, but think about it. By keeping what Moses told them, the nation Israel was to be different, and that wisdom and understanding, and that law was to make them right. But God, through Paul, in the dispensation of grace, as the charts open up, in the dispensation of grace, we're not under law, but under what?
Right.
Grace. You know, a lot of people can say that. You know, there's a lot of grace things out there. On buildings. There's a lot of crosses that's sticking up on buildings. There's a lot of people said they're preaching Christ. But they have no idea what grace is. You know, Brother Frank said 20-some years, he knew about grace. But he didn't come to the knowledge of the truth of grace. Amen? You know, and people would use that word. You watch these tactics as Satan's working today. He's taking the word of grace and applying it everywhere to make you think they're teaching grace there. Mm-hmm. It's error. That's why you've got to know the wild of the devil. But there is no ifs and thens under the grace that will identify us with Mr. Law. There's no performance that are under the grace program to gain acceptance to God. Think about that. When we trust Christ Jesus that He died for our sin debt, He also took the law our way. Go to Romans chapter 7. Chapter 6 is dead in sin. Chapter 7, you're dead in the law. Amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 says, "Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are dead, become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did works in our members to bring forth fruit unto what?
Death.
Death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we are held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not the oldness of what?
The letter.
That law is a letter. But you're in the spirit. And Colossians chapter 2 says, by blotting out the handwritten writings of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it our way and held it to whose cross?
His cross.
Hence, we are dead to the law. Think about that. We're dead to the law. That same death that took Mr. Sin our way, that we identified with in the death of Jesus Christ, and He died, we identify with His death. He's buried. We identify with His burial. He's rose again. We identify with His resurrection. That's how we are identified with Him. And that same thing that took sin all away takes Mr. Law all away. I don't know about you. It's hard to understand that in your frame, in our human mind. Dude. But if you let God think about what He did or tell us what He did, it's wonderful. I can't do it. You can't do it for me. Can do it all. Go to Galatians chapter 2. It takes us here. Galatians chapter 2. Now, whether you want to believe that Galatians is the first book Paul writes or Thessalonians, Galatians deals with the law right off the bat. Okay? It's out of the way. That's long until we catch him. Mm-hmm. So either one of those, the issues settled with me. Now I'll be settled with you, so study things out. But look at this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, do you know anybody put you under a law principle that you might have been in the past? Said you were oppressed. You got it. Yeah, I think every one of us was in the law. He says, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be what? Justified. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, if therefore Christ is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Mm-hmm. Verse 20, I do not frustrate what? The grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead. Think about it. If you can get righteous by keeping the law, Christ died in vain.
Amen.
That's not good news. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, For it is written, cursed is everyone that continue not to know all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Are you doing them? Guess what? You're cursed. What's that? But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is in evident, for the just shall live by law.
Amen.
Where do you find that? In Paul's epistle. You can't find that in anything else under that law system. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. Being under this law, here's what benefits are. You're not justified by the works of the law. Or no flesh shall be justified. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Works of the law are under a curse. Is that good?
No.
So that just like Mr. Sin, you take Mr. Law and you put it away. You put it away. Now let's look at Mr. Flesh real quick. Mr. Flesh is a very powerful, just as Mr. Sin is. Mr. Flesh, that's what you're in right now. I hope you're not in right now. Your body's made of flesh, but you're not. But look, just like Mr. Sin, Mr. Law, God says this is a solution, and it falls under the grace and under the grace line. He has a solution for everything we do. God does. And when we are in the flesh, according to Paul, we fall back into a law system. And it becomes, and what that becomes of is Mr. Me and Mr. You and Mrs. You. That's what it amounts to. Like you're talking about being puffed up in the flesh. It's about you and me. It's not about what the Bible says. Who cares about that? Right? That's what flesh does. Romans chapter 8. Keep your hand in Galatians. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them, verse 1, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the law, the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law cannot do, in that it is weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the law. Spirit. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, very important, fourth verse. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Verse 9. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of what? Righteousness. Now, Mr. Flesh, that is in Mr. and Mrs. You and Me, does not like to hear that we cannot walk by flesh. It does not like to hear that we weep through the flesh. And flesh cannot please God. We don't want to hear that. It wants to hear, it's all about me. And it's all about you. And look what I've done. But if you're in the Spirit, you can put Mr. Flesh down. It's important. Mr. Flesh seems to be what the Galatians had that kept popping up in Galatians chapter 3. Come forward. We're going forward. We're going to Galatians 3 first. Old foolish, verse 1. Old foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Somebody's tricking you. You think they can trick you today? Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus had been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of what? Faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect in the flesh? Hey, can the flesh make you perfect? Think about it now. There's a world system out there that says you can't. There's a system out there that says, how many of you got your church? How many of you got your church? There's a system out there that says, what do you need? What kind of building do you have? And so on. You know, we meet in a police dispatch station. Okay? Awesome. And it's a community room. They built a brand new place, and you just walk in there. And in my flesh, I feel that that's a hindrance to me. Because they say, God can't be in there. That's where sinners go. Well, sometimes we're known as the little grace church under the law. They all say, hey, you mess up, let me send you the man upstairs. He's got bad. But you know, the thing is, it's not the building. But that world system says it can't be perfect, that flesh. So the courage to you guys here is it doesn't matter where you meet.
Amen.
And you fly that flag. I learned that a long time ago. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow when we talk about what does the church do. We'll explain some things, how we got started in the ministry and all. Galatians chapter 4. God gives a great illustration about the two natures. Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and one by the bondmaid, and the other by the free woman. But he who was by the bondwoman was born after the what? Flesh. But he that of the free woman was by the what? Promise. Go down to verse 29. But verse 28 says, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Because why? You're born free in Christ Jesus. It says, verse 29, but as then he that is born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Don't your flesh war after the Spirit? Mine does. I'm not going to sit up there and tell you, don't. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir to the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Verse 1, chapter 5 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us what?
Free.
And be not entangled again to the yoke of bondage. Going back under that system in the flesh under the law of bondage. You know, Richard has a... he shared this up there, your comment. He had a message on his website, just kick the old woman out. That's what it referred to. And it came around Mother's Day. Huh. We cut Richard's program on up there, and I saw this title, I'm like, I don't know about this title. It was Mother's Day. But after listening to it, it's like, that's a good Mother's Day message. It was Mother's Day when you took it. Let Mr. Flesh go. It's bondage. It's law. It's sin. You kick it out. Just like Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 and now Romans chapter 8, we can identify ourselves as dead to the flesh, like the Lord's dead. We can dead to the flesh like His burial. Dead to the flesh like His resurrection. Getting ready to close on some things, but listen. Consider this. We know that we're made up of spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. We're not made up of body. What does the world say we're made up of?
Body,
soul.
Body, soul.
Right. It's spirit, soul, and body. And we know that flesh, law, and sin has always been a war against that spirit, soul, and body. And when this happened, it does, just remember, it does not send from above, but it's earthly and sensual and devilish when you let flesh and law and sin lord in you. So being under grace, we can know this. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through what? Today. And not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man can walk. You know what God just did? He took boasting out of the way from what man can do. You know? And Romans talked about it. By grace there's no more works. Those verses say that you and I cannot work for grace. You cannot buy grace. You cannot earn grace. And God eliminates that boasting that you and I can do. Look at me. Look what I did for God. You know what? That can only be found in dispensation of grace. You know, when you mentioned Ephesians chapter 2, you know, there's a personal thing going on there. It's not good. That we, in time past, our father was the devil, whether you believe it or not. He was unsaved. And then there was a dispensation change that you talked about in times past, but now in ages to come. But think about this. Living under grace and the grace life is allowing that transformation that takes place inside the believer. You know, living under grace and the grace life, Romans chapter 6, you're dead to sin, alive to God. Romans chapter 7, you're dead to the law of transformed mind. Romans chapter 8, you're dead to the flesh, you have victory. Right. Line yourself up with that. And remember, I am crucified with Christ. I got a point right quick I want to share with you about times past, but now maybe it's come. It says when God showed favor, when Frank shared with the grace line, it does transform.
And you know, here we go. I got a
but I think about what I was.
And it wasn't good.
So when we share this, some people share this glorious message with us, we had to make a distinction and a difference in our life. I wanted to be right with God. Amen. It didn't matter what you and I agreed on or disagreed. I want to be right with God. And when we started understanding this sensational truth, it was over 20-some years ago, about 22 years ago. And Sherry and I have been in this message for a long time. And tomorrow we'll share more of what we did through the years, church planning and all. But when that happened, our minds just changed. We started singing songs. You know, I love Hank Williams Jr. You know, we rewrite his songs. You know, let grace messages in them and stuff and all. And Patsy Cline, and you name it, we sing it. But look, here's this poem I want to share with you that I wrote back like in 97, 98. When God showed favor to Israel as a nation, do you know how it was in that dispensation? He sent signs to work miracles from above. He gave mercy and kindness and fatherly love. Now from the writings of the prophets, we are told, being Gentiles without God, left out in the culture. That's Ephesians chapter 2. Says, to be one of them that seem to be right, convert, observe, and come across the line. But in this dispensation, it all turns around, because in Paul's epistles, the body of Christ is found. For he shows us the blood of God's saving grace. There is no difference in makeup of any nation or race. He tells us that one God, he goes on to explain, you're complete in him.
I got to get with this.
In the heavens, you are right. For God sent His Son, and life was cost. To Him be the glory, say, not Christ. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time you've given us. Jesus, we pray.